Welcome, everybody. This is the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Allen. I'm joined by Jordan Taylor. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, a little bit sicky, but other than that, I'm excited. We are on this is Harry Potter or Hogwarts Legacy Eve, because the game's about to come out
hours before Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah.
And before we get to, we've also got a special guest here, but Vikarth, how are you, mate?
Doing well.
Doing well. And our special guest, Hat Sorting Man from Hogwarts, how are you? Thank you for joining me on that bit, Jordan. Okay, yeah, we're got Hogwarts Legacy coming in a few hours. How are you guys feeling? Are you excited about this title?
Yes, yeah. Very excited.
What are you expecting in terms of reception?
It's going to be one of the most difficult games to talk about, maybe not ever, but at least in the top five. J.K. Rowling can go. So, there is that.
I don't know what... I have no idea what the reception's going to be for this game. Are the reviewers going to overlook and distance themselves from the controversy? And
they definitely will.
I think review it fairly.
But did you guys hear what some IGN guy said? He's like, no one wants to review it in IGN. Everyone said no. They can't find anyone to review.
Imagine the internet's bad at the best of times when people review games. Can you imagine the hate... even if you give this a good score, if you give it a bad, there's no winning.
There's no winning either way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why no one wants to put their name to it, I guess.
Yeah. I would say companies are doing their due diligence and being like, we need someone who's going to review this fairly. If you think that you are going to be biased in any way, and you might not even mean to be, or if you just don't want to do it, don't review it. That's fine. Because I think it's such a delicate and sensitive subject.
Do you think there'll be a single review online, written or video, that won't mention JK at all? Will there be even one?
Personally, I think there'll be some who will go out of their way to not even mention it. And
do you?
Yeah, I think so. I reckon that they'll have review. I reckon a lot of places will have disclaimers at the top.
Disclaimers.
And then the rest of the review won't mention it.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. What do you reckon, Vic?
Yeah, I think they'll either have a footnote or a header.
And then not mention it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen people boycotting the game. They won't cover it. I will be covering it on my channel. There's some people that are going as far as to not streaming on Twitch because Hogwarts are doing Twitch advertising and they can't change the ads. So they're going as far as not streaming on Twitch. So there's a lot of seriousness behind this.
I reckon there'll be a lot of trans and LGBT foundations that are getting an influx of money in the next week or so, just from companies being like, we reviewed this game, we also donated to this charity. Companies saying that we reviewed it, we're covering it, but we're also doing our part to show that we stand with this community. I think you'll get a lot of that as well.
Yeah, definitely. My take is, if you don't want to play it, don't want to support it, don't do it. And if you do, you do. You know, it's everyone's own decision. That's my take on the whole thing.
Yeah.
I just don't like people demanding you to do one thing or another. So anyway, that's coming out. Besides that whole thing, I'm actually excited for the game. I've heard a good buzz from people that have played it. So I look forward to giving it a crack. And I think I'm going to start off in Slytherin. Guys, I'm going to be...
Not Slytherin,
eh? I'm going to be a bit of a naughty boy. I got Gryffindor in the little thing that they did where you can do the little test. But I'm going against the grain.
No.
Yeah, I always want to be the anti-hero.
You know, Infamous... See, when it was Infamous, I always played the good guy first, the blue path first.
Yeah, same.
But, I was going to say...
what do we know?
I just, the morality system in games, right? I just feel like there's no incentive a lot of games to actually do the evil stuff. Like, I feel like in Infamous, there was no incentive other than just to see what happens in the story. Do you know what I mean? Or,
so you're saying when you do evil, you should get an advantage.
Yeah, I think Jordan's right. There's no incentive either way. But no, I just think there should be more morally ambiguous choices. Like, for instance, I think Mass Effect sort of did a good job where it's like, look, you could get to some place quicker by doing an evil choice, or you could save someone or that sort of thing by doing evil choices as well. It's like morality is a bit tough. You know, sometimes you've got to make the wrong choices or the bad choices to get the outcome you need. So I just feel like a lot of games actually, the morality system is actually quite binary, where it's like, it's just good or bad. The good decision is clearly good and the bad decision is clearly bad. And there's no incentive to, sometimes you have to compromise your morals in order to, you know, do something. Yeah, that sort of thing.
Especially in Infamous, where there was only really a few that were morally ambiguous. There was one where it was like, save your girlfriend or save like the doctors. And it's like, well, that's a good one. But the other one was like, save the bus of people or like, don't. It's like, all right, well, especially because the thing was, you wanted to see the good ending and the bad ending. So you just there was no like, you knew what and what you were going to choose when it came to those options. Where, you know what did it really well? Telltale games, especially because you'd have to be thinking ahead and being like when you think of the car you can rob in the first one, and you go back and you think like, okay, what's actually going to happen? Is like, does this car belong to someone? What's going to happen if I do rob it? What happens if I don't rob it? Like, if I don't rob it, is someone going to die?
Which one's this? Walking Dead.
In the Walking Dead. Sorry, did I not say the Walking Dead? Yeah,
you said Telltale.
Yeah. Oh, pardon me. Yeah, the car. At the in like the first episode or the second episode that you can steal from.
Do you know the most gut-wrenching statement, the most gut-wrenching moments in The Walking Dead is when you make a bad choice and then on the top right of the screen, Clementine will remember that.
Yeah.
Or, you're just like, no.
And you know how they'd always do those faces? You know how they'd be like, they'd be plain and then it'd come up with that and they'd be like, they'd just instantly frown at you and then go back to normal. It reminds me of L.A. Noire, when like you'd have to tell if people were lying or not, and they'd make like, as much as it was revolutionary, but they'd make like the dumbest faces. They'd be like, I didn't see anything.
Yeah, they'd over exaggerate the faces. It's so funny.
I think you're right with Mass Effect did it, but what about, I think Red Dead 2 did it well as well. They had a morality system. Yeah. BioShock was another one.
Yeah.
BioShock 1, I guess, with like between harvesting the little sisters or saving them, and you get Adam if you harvest them. That was like pretty good choice, I guess.
Fallout 3?
Fallout 3, yeah.
Fallout 4 as well. There was nothing Fallout more 4. Disappointing than Nick Valentine not liking you anymore because you did something.
Nick Valentine.
Nah, I don't agree with that one, Slick.
was just Tommy Lee Jones.
Knights of the Old Republic.
Who wants to be a Sith? Like, I know now, like, everyone back in the day wanted to be a Jedi, and when you're little, it's kind of easy. It's either a Sith choice
or a Jedi.
What
color was your lightsaber, guys? If you could choose.
What'd you choose in Jedi Fallen Order? How about that?
I'm pretty sure. Well, I matched it to Cal. I didn't match it to me. So when I played Jedi, I'm pretty sure I went orange to match it to Cal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my favorite color would be purple. But I like green and blue. Blue's classic.
Double dual wield red with Darth Maul. My favorite.
Can't go wrong with red. But
that guy's cooler than Luke's lightsaber when he's wearing the all black with the green with it. There's something just sick about the green with the all black.
At the end of Mandalorian.
Oh, that, and at the end in Return of the Jedi as well, isn't he? Yeah, black with the green. But remember, I just remember this: Hogwarts Legacy doesn't have a morality system. So as much as you might be like in Slytherin, you're not even really the bad guy.
So it doesn't change anything at all.
I don't know. As far as I'm aware, it just changes like where your common room is and stuff.
It might change the law. Yeah, I find it hard to believe that there is this. It's just completely uniquely different in the forehead. They've made four different stories for the game. I kind of find that hard to believe.
But what about even a couple of new characters or side quests or something? You'd hope.
I hope it's meaningful, but at the same time, I can see it. I can see developers just being a bit creative and being like, you know, like Cyberpunk. How you know, the different backgrounds, but it was like, okay, you just start off in a different place and end up in the same place. Like, it didn't make a difference.
Did it?
Not really. At the start, like you're a city slicker, or like, you know, you're like from the outskirts and things like that. You're a corpo. But
I think it changed the endings, maybe. I don't know. I'd have to go back. I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't think it's in the anyone's best interest. Like, there's just too much effort to make four different stories.
Actually, it was gender that actually, for Cyberpunk, because you couldn't romance some people unless you're...
Yeah. Mass Effect did the same thing. You couldn't romance certain characters based on your gender. But yeah, look, I would love to have a game where you could do four different, you know, the Hufflepuff storyline, you know, restoring the house or something. You know what I mean? Slytherin, making them good, Gryffindor.
I think that just the way we're talking about this just shows that we are really excited about Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Like the fact that we're talking about it in as much detail.
And there's a trophy here, 57, complete all side quests, and it's out of 57. It says 57 side quests.
Because you know what?
Breaking news.
This game will be a good podcast game, I reckon, when you get to those side quests.
Well, are they fetch quests? Are they like God of War level?
Do you agree? If
I can run a broom there, I don't care.
A good side quest means it's not a good podcast game, right?
Correct. Correct.
So where have you seen, I know we're just completely going off tangent, but what do you reckon is one of the best side quest games you guys have played? Where it's been meaningful.
Red Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, Red Dead.
Horizon's actual side quests are good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so
God of
like,
Wars are good.
Not like all the dots, but like their actual side quests where you're meeting new characters, like named characters, are really good. God of War, of course.
I mean, Cyberpunk had a few, to be honest.
Maybe Elden Ring.
I think Fallout is the classic as well. The Fallout franchise have had some amazing side quests. Like, I think New Vegas, like the side quests were almost as good as, you know, or better, you know, because of all the different factions, the Legion, those sort of things. So...
All right, let's get into some news. Let's jump into some news here, guys. Our first story, God of War Ragnarok smashes through 11 million in sales in only a matter of months, shattering that of its predecessor in terms of how quick it was. So how do you feel about that, guys?
That's a lot. It is on two consoles. So that's one caveat compared to 2018, which was only on one. But yeah, it's still it's an impressive number. It's a very impressive number.
2018 took a year to break 10 million. They've done 11 million in 3 months.
Yeah, when did it come out? November. So very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think God of War, if you think about 2018, no, it was an unknown quantity. But Ragnarok was somewhat known that it was going to be something special.
Yeah.
Probably makes sense that it sold so quickly, so well, so quickly.
Those outrageous numbers, there's absolutely no way that they're stopping there. There's going to be plenty more of these games to come in the next.
That's what's exciting. It goes to show that live service, those sort of massively multiplayer games, battle royales, they aren't everything, you know, the mobile games. I know a lot of companies are looking to push for that because they kind of see single player as dead. When you see sales numbers like this, like Elden Ring, like Horizon sells well, you kind of, restore faith back in humanity or back in the games industry. Yeah.
And let's hope that this is just like the beginning of a new beginning for God of War. Can you imagine 10 years from now if we've had, I'm imagining like by then you might have had two big games and maybe like two or three little short stops along the way, like depending on what they do with how Ragnarok ends, like how they're going to tackle it. Yeah. Oh, but what a really good redemption story for God of War, going from really like the bastard child of the Sony catalog that was looked upon really unfavorably by a lot of people, and rightfully so in some areas. Like, I understand the criticisms, but the fact that it's had such a really good redemption story and it's seen as a masterpiece in the eyes of many, Corey Barlog should be very proud, because all of this rests on his shoulders. Like, this is really all due to his hard work and his dedication and care for the franchise.
Yeah. And also on sales figures, It Takes Two, the game of the year for 2021 for a PS5 Central podcast, has sold over 10 million. Incredible numbers, especially for not an indie game, but it's definitely not a AAA game, is it?
So definitely that double A.
And also 10 million, that means potentially 20 million played it, because you've got that free pass for a friend.
That's I love, oh man, I'm so glad It Takes Two sold well, because Yeah, that game is so damn special to me and phenomenal game. That single player was so great. This is what we want in single player games. Great narrative storytelling done in creative ways, right? And we had a
co-op experience like that in a while, you and me. That's for
I
sure.
Know, man. It's every time I play co-op with you, it's always so fun. Like, I think, what was the other one? Maybe Ghost Legends is probably the last time we played together and had a good time, but I can't think of anything else before that. It's been a long time.
I hope this gives him more budget, Joseph Ferrez, for his next game. Not that budget means a better game, as we can clearly see by this, but it helps, doesn't it?
He can hire another army of the people slaving away, making more mini games. Sir, please, we can't design this full system.
I want to make a fully-fledged chess game that two people will play. I'm begging you, sir. Please. Get back to work, motherfucker. Oh, no. That's so good. We laugh about it, but anyway.
That was a running joke. Every time Dan and I came across a minigame, we're like, someone had to develop this fully-fledged system only for many people to just skip over it and never experience it.
But to be fair, we at least put 10 minutes into each mini game. We actually played it. We would have a winner and we'd move on. We would never skip them.
Yeah. We played them all. And some we played multiple times and we're having fun. Like there's a volleyball one we had a good time with. And yeah, I just remember so many fun ones.
Yeah.
Damn, what a game, Dan. What a game.
And the funny thing is, we could technically just go back and play those mini games at any time if we really wanted to.
I think they're accessible through the menu.
They are.
Yeah. That's pretty so cool good. Idea.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. So I'm guessing it's going to be like if Joseph, this next game is going to just have every game imaginable. It's just going to be good. Do you know one other game that actually does mini games really well? GTA.
Yeah, but I wish they did more. That's my only thing.
Like, I remember you saying this, and I agreed with it. It's like their golf game is better than two golf like PGA 2K.
It was. I literally put 30 hours into GTA golf. I'm not joking. 30
their
hours.
Their racing
at least.
Is phenomenal. It's better than a lot of racing games out there.
They've
you
got
know,
a tennis.
Darts, tennis. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish GTA and the next one, hopefully, pool is the one I'd love. Pool.
Yeah.
I'd love table tennis. Anyway, we can go on and on. But pool's number one. And 18 holes on a golf course. Isn't that much to ask instead of nine holes?
Well, and
give
I want to play
two courses. I mean, give
I want to go
variety.
To Pebble Beach. I want to play on Pebble Beach and just tee off.
Pebble Beach, yeah. All right, so the big story this week is dead games. So what I mean by that is in the recent weeks, there has been heaps of games going offline or getting no support, sort of shutting down servers or shutting down support entirely. This started, I think it started with Marvel's Avengers, which we covered, which was inevitable. But then how many other games came on, guys? Who's got the list of
like I'll, I like the so the, these are the live games that are getting canned or that have been canned in the past week or recently, let's just say, not past week, recently.
This year.
Apex Legends Mobile, Battlefield Mobile. Yeah, they're mobile games. Fair enough. Crime Site, which is a Konami game that was like a murder mystery. These are all live services, by the way. Crossfire X. The campaign for that is also shutting down, weirdly enough. Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai. Yeah, because the campaign's tied to it. So you can't even play the campaign when Crossfire X shuts down. Weird. How crazy is that? Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai, Heroes Bonds, Echo VR, Knockout City, Love Live, School Idol Festival, and Rumbleverse. So that are the games that have been, you know, shut down this month. But then let's look at these other games. You know, we've got Back for Blood. That's shutting down, I think, this month. Or they're stopping support.
No more support. Yeah.
Yeah, it's stopping support.
Didn't that
Marvel's
come out
Avengers.
Last October or was it the year before?
Year before.
Okay.
Marvel's Avengers. We've got Babylon's Fall shutting down this month. I've mentioned Rumbleverse. Also, Dragalia, Lost Ends, Final Fantasy, I think, 7.
The first
which is
Soldier, yeah.
The First Soldier.
The First Soldier, which I don't know what that is.
Yeah. So it's just going to show that we just mentioned probably 10 games there, 10, 15 games, all live services, all shutting down. So that's pretty big. It's almost like, you know, I see it as like the bubble, right? Like, you know, you talk about like in economics of the housing prices being a bubble where everyone's dumping money or there's heaps of demand that just raises up their prices of houses. And then let's say interest rates increase, spending stops, and the bubble bursts and all these housing prices fall to the ground. And it's sort of like everyone was chasing this live service trend and there were people dumping money into it. Everyone is doing it. Let's just start a live service here, live service there, a mobile one. And then they all realize that the bubble just burst when they all realize, okay, we actually have to put some effort into it. Destiny, for instance, that is a great live service game that deserves all the, you know, accolades it got, because that's actually a live service game done well. And everyone just thought they could tack on a live service and get minimal effort, maximal return. And just
the worst
to show.
One I see is the Resident Evil one that came out with the Village DLC a month or two ago. It must be completely dead. There must be 10 players. And they've tried, Resident Evil have tried this so many times. Like countless times.
They've had a few online games, haven't they?
And none of them ever hit, but they continue to try. It's unbelievable, really.
Resident Evil's a weird
one. They get
worse
and worse.
I would say they've had far more misses than hits. But like, let's think about it. They have had a lot of misses.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, how many side games are there? Now, I would just want to dispute one thing Vike said. I think that a lot can be, what he said is true for some of these on this list. For others, I think it just comes to being just lost in the shuffle a little bit, where they were probably in a bit of a niche anyway, where it was probably a bit of a gamble because of the type of game it was, even if it was a battle royale, like Rumbleverse. It's a battle royale, but it's like a wrestling battle royale. So the audience there is already quite niche. And from what I can gather with that one, apparently the skill gap in that one just got ridiculous, where if you were really good at that game, you were doing all like the move cancels, the dodge cancels and everything, where like there it was, especially because the player base had shrunk so much, there was no chance you could get good. No. Which you know, it's something that games like this face, but yeah, just happens. Knockout City is one that I think when we saw it displayed or previewed at an E3 or a Summer Games Fest a few years ago when it came out, I remember really looked at that and were like, that dead on arrival. It definitely had a moment for a little bit. And like, it is up to like season 2 or 3, I think now. So it has had a good run. And it brings me to the question of, do live service games need to run for 5 years to be successful? Because if you think of like COD, do you reckon people would still be playing a COD 24, like the same COD 24 months after? Like, obviously Warzone is an anomaly there, but if you think back to the CODs we played, those CODs were basically dead 8 months after.
Well, they're still
that,
up.
And then people
the
are already
servers
waiting
are still
for the
up
one.
For all those CODs, surprisingly.
They are still up, but they're funded by Activision. Let's not forget.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'd love to know the sort of player base numbers on each COD, you know, weekly numbers.
All hackers now as well.
It's a lot of hackers in the older games. Yeah.
It's all just hackers, which is so dumb. Like, get a life. Like, what are you doing? You're hacking.
What are you doing? You're hacking a game from 10 years old game. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. But anyway, all so I was saying was, I would maybe not Rumbleverse, but I would view Knockout City as a success. Like, it's a shame that it can't keep going. And it's a shame that I don't know if there's a single player component to it. That had a pretty good run, and now they can stop supporting that. They can go back to the drawing board. Maybe make a single player game out of it instead. Maybe make a game that's got both components, because it seems like the formula there worked. And they're doing something interesting, which we spoke about before, where they're shutting down public servers, but they're allowing you to continue to play private matches with your friends, which is pretty cool. So it's not like it's all doom and gloom that you can never play the game again. Yeah, there are some lists like Crossfire X, shocking. White Line, so bad.
Yeah, that was just a bad game. Same with Babylon's Falls. But Apex Legends Mobile and Battlefield Mobile is a worrying sign for EA, because Call of Duty Mobile dominates.
It absolutely just rakes in money, that game.
Yeah.
And now they got Warzone Mobile as well.
They...
Hey, and you know the UI, right, that you hate? it's really good on mobile. We wouldn't believe it.
I've actually put in probably 20 hours or 10, probably 10 to 20 hours on Call of Duty Mobile. And it's actually, yeah, like it's actually a good game. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that time. But I just want to say,
do you play with touch controls or do you have a controller?
Do you know what the funny thing is, Jules? I played touch controls. This is like when it first came out, right?
Yeah.
It's actually pretty good with touch controls. Like quick scoping is actually really good because all you have to do is point your finger at the person and like slightly drag. And it was like really good. Dude, with the intervention, Dan is showing his
backbone.
He's like, is that a backbone?
Yeah. Backbone.
Yeah.
Not
bad.
With the touchscreen, Jordan, and the intervention, I got a 30-0 free for all nuke. Like it's just touching. It just made life so easy. I think it's a lot better now because when you're starting, there's just noobs. Now it's a skill curve and I wouldn't even bother trying. But it was actually really good, Jordan. Like they actually somehow made touch controls work. So that's why I'm like full credit to them. But going back to what Jordan said, like I agree. Like I think the problem is the oversaturation of the Battle Royale actually meant that good Battle Royales probably fell through the cracks or didn't get as much time and attention as they deserve. Because I meant live service. Because that's the thing with live service, right? It requires such a heavy time investment from people in order to be successful. Mm-hmm. In order for live service to be successful, you need everyone to stay on the game for a year, put in hours, spend money on the store. It has to become like a lifestyle, like a ongoing game for them, like a Call of Duty. So it's this high barrier to entry, but once you've got them hooked, it's a really good return. But that's the live service model. That's like the gamble, the risk reward of a live service, developing a live service game.
You sort of have to make it past the 2 or 3 year mark to really have a winner, don't you? You can't really tell in the first few years.
But it'd probably be profitable even after the first year or two. Like I think of
some of these smaller ones.
Yeah. And I would say Destiny probably would have been profitable after that was really successful after a year.
You've got games like Siege that ended up doing better as they went on.
There are games, but yeah, you're right. If the sign of a successful live service is its longevity,
because Siege must be heading on 10 years nearly. It's been a while.
Yeah. This would be year 10 of Rocket League.
Wow.
Yeah, Siege wouldn't be 10 years then. Siege was years
Rocket
after
League,
Rocket League.
10 years. Yeah. Wow.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, still a great game. There's a YouTube video, Dan, of them analyzing the opening E3 video for Siege and like how different and how bad it is. Like you should watch it. It's so funny. They say how different it is. And it's really,
that's cool that they've developed it. Siege isn't in a great state though. I played it last year and I had to give it up. There was some, there's some really, the community is really bad. Like they're really toxic.
That's the other thing. That's the other risk about live service. It's up to the community to keep it alive.
Yeah.
And if you've just got a toxic cesspool, then it's unfortunate. It's
because especially when you got ranked play and people are killing you because there's team killing.
TK. TK on a ranked game, you're almost like, that's almost a formula to breed BM in any sort of game. So
they're trying everywhere
where like people can interact. That's like what Sea of Thieves had such a problem with, just major griefing on the Xbox side.
Yeah,
Sea of Thieves.
Yeah,
what was griefing about that? You could grief in that game
because I'm assuming it was like the open seas or whatever, and you'd spawn back in, and people would just be waiting for you, and they'd just keep killing you, and you'd get stuck in the loop.
Yeah. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. That's the problem. If any game, someone's going to be a dickhead. So you've got to try and eradicate. You've got to think like a dickhead. You do. As a game developer, you have to think like an asshole because there's always going to be someone that's going to try and exploit your game to be an asshole. Yeah. So you've got to try it, don't you? You almost need an asshole defender as a developer.
They should be hiring these griefers to game test it.
Yeah, that's what I'd be doing. Just try and break my game. Try and be an asshole and we'll try and stop it. Okay, so not good signs, but then you got games like The Last of Us, which you can still play online. Hmm. So the good online games usually survive, let's be honest.
And how does this bode for Sony? They're promising 10 live service games coming out.
Well, they're not all going to hit. They're not all going to hit.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're doing. They're just throwing 10 games and seeing what sticks. But you know, when we think about what Sony has in store, I definitely see factions being a live service. I think that's got to be a live service. That,
yeah, there was a rumor the other day about that and about how it's also going to have a story component as well, which is something I had thought about. And it makes sense if you think about it. Like, how are we going to get attached to these factions if we don't have a reason to be, apart from just playing as them? So apparently there is going to be a story mode, and you would think it'd be for each faction. There's a story mode where you're playing through as a character from this faction. Maybe you're warring with these other factions to maybe give you a bit of an attachment to be like, oh wow, yeah, I really do like the Rattlers. I'm going to play as them. You know, when I'm playing online. But yeah, I reckon a live service for that is where it's going. Otherwise, why would it take so long?
I know, it's taken so long. So I hope there's a Ghost of Tsushima live service. I'd love to see that. Like, there's actually good IP they have to make some good live service games, but yeah, we'll have to wait and see what those 10 are. And I wonder how that bodes for the market, because this is the problem with trend chasing. You know, when you're chasing trends, you're always behind the curve. And you're always behind the cycle. And then by the time, let's say, it dies out, the trend, you're already millions and millions of dollars of investment in too deep to stop. Do you get what I mean? Like, if it's already coming out of fashion now, there's Sony already have 10 live service games in development, well, then that's unfortunate. They're screwed. But I will say that I don't think live service is dying. I just think people are realizing that but it's just the way the market's worked, where there's more to it than just putting a marketplace and promising some DLC and some support, some characters here and there. You know, there's so much more to it. And yeah, that's the thing. You need good quality live service in order to actually succeed. So,
you know what's gone? NFTs.
NFTs, man. They dropped off the face of the earth. I think people started realizing. Yeah, I know. Ubisoft Quartz. I think people have realized how, yeah. I do not understand the value proposition of NFTs. The only reason why I was like okay with it was because the way you value products are based on how other people value it. So if everyone thought NFTs are great, I'm like, yeah, do it. But I thought it's so silly because why are people valuing it? Because there is no intrinsic value to these products. But if people were paying millions of dollars, then you might as well get in on it.
All right, next story. PS Plus members lose 19 games as of May. Sony are dropping the PS Plus collection. So if you've got a PS5 now, you can claim all these games and you'll be fine after May. But if you're picking up a PS5 after May, you're not going to be able to get this PS collection, which has the likes of Until Dawn, Uncharted 4, Ratchet and Clank, Mortal Kombat, God of War, Detroit, just to name a few. Yeah, so what do you guys make of this?
Monster Hunter World.
What's the reasoning?
I'll counter this with a question. Did you guys play any games directly from the collection? So, like, I played some of these games before the collection was a thing. What games did you play from the collection that you downloaded, if that makes sense?
Well, I'd already played every single one. So it's unfair.
So there was no real value in it for you.
I might have paid for The Last Guardian because I got it before that. Actually, I don't remember. I think Last Guardian and Bloodborne.
Yeah.
The only one I didn't play was Final Fantasy, I think. Which one did they give you?
And see, for me, Jordan, now that I know it's March, I would... Oh, they gave Final Fantasy 15, Dan.
Yeah, I
would download Until Dawn. I would download Days Gone, Crash, maybe. Like, these sort of things are good to just have. Yeah, download them all.
Did you play Days Gone, Vi?
No.
You have any interest?
I do, but people said it's really long. It's 60 hours, apparently.
Really, it's really long. It's way too long.
I reckon you can get through it in 30, 35 hours.
Is it difficulty?
Yeah.
It's not difficult.
I'll just put a lower difficulty. Yeah.
Just play a lower
I think it's a really good collection.
This is the volatility of these subscription services. That's why it's always better to go physical, because then you don't have to worry about this.
But then, like, you can still get it.
What do you mean?
And some of these games, like, you can still get these games. It's not that it's like, it just means that you can't get them on the collection for free.
Yeah, I'm sure some of them will pop up for free on that PS Essential, whatever it is.
Yeah, I would wager some of them are already.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I reckon, like, I played three of them. I played Days Gone, Ratchet and Clank, and Until Dawn. And I'm pretty happy with that. A lot of the other ones I'd played, and some of the other ones don't interest me.
That's pretty good value.
Yeah. I think it's a shame. Like, it is a shame that it's going, but we're at the stage now where, like, it was a privilege they gave us. Like, they didn't have to do this, but they did. And now it's going, but, like, you have PlayStation Plus that you can use. Your local game shop will have a wealth of pre-owned titles you can get on the cheap. There's cheap game sales going on every month, it seems like, where you can get games for dirt cheap. The PlayStation Store has great sales to begin with, like really, really competitive sales online on digital stuff. And it might be months old, but these games are years old at this stage. Like, they're last-gen games. They're 5 years old, some of them.
So, and the whole thing was designed to get Xbox users to jump over, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
Like a catch up.
Yeah, it was like, come on over, we'll give you all these for free. You can catch up and then you'll be in the system. That's the whole point of it, I thought.
Yeah, it was a good response to Games Pass. So they're like, yeah, they have quantity, here's quality.
You know? Yeah. And good.
Oh, man.
It's true. Dan, I'll tell you what, this is a different story that we could talk about. Microsoft are in a really, really bad place right now. Like, really bad place, Xbox. Like, they are, like, they just laid off all, like, how many people from 343 and, like, all the studios?
Overall, Microsoft's laid off a few thousand.
Why can't they just give Halo to someone else at this point?
I know.
Maybe they need to stop. Like, stop trying to make Halo work.
It could be that as well. It could be.
No, here's the thing. Halo, in terms of mascot games, Halo is Microsoft's Mario, right? I'm not talking about in success, but in terms of that is their seminal, like,
agreed, yeah,
game. And they, and Halo, like, Halo 1, 2, 3, Reach, pinnacle. Even 4 maybe.
Pinnacle, yeah.
Absolute cream of the crop, the best, greatest shooters of all time, legendary status, like legendary, will be forever in the annals of history, forever in gaming history as great, amazing games. And then it just dives off a cliff with like Infinite and, you know, 5 and all this.
Five was bad, man.
What I'm saying. As soon as they gave it to 343, and I'm like, how can you make this mistake so many times with 343? Like, if this is your mascot, if this is your, you will never see Nintendo screw Mario up. And as soon as something screws up, they would go into DEFCON 1 and change everything, right? This is a problem. Like, Xbox are not taking Halo serious enough, as this is a game, it has to be 9 or 10 out of 10 or above. And they're just mismanaging the crap out of it with 343. They named the studio 343 because they're like, this is the Halo studio. You know, why? This is the problem with naming studios after games. You're relegating them to that game forever. Yeah, 343 Guilty Spark is the main antagonist in Halo. So it's
John 3. You know, what is it? Oh, no. No, it's John 141.
No, 117. 117.
117.
You're thinking Task Force 141. Oh, yeah. with Master Chief.
Yeah, so it's John 117.
Yeah.
So where's the 343? As you said,
Guilty Spark, 343 Guilty Spark, yeah, the Oracle. So this is the thing. I just can't believe they've screwed the pooch so badly. They've only got Forza.
But the game, like, Coalition, what are they doing? The game was actually good. It was the post-launch content that was bad.
I know, but how can you stuff that up when that's the only IP you've got? In like PlayStation, Sony are managing like 20 different IPs and 20 all these different studios. All Microsoft need to manage a Halo, no, and they're screwing the pooch. More than
that. But there's things coming, man. There's things coming. There's things coming.
They got Hellblade 2, which looks very impressive.
Oh, where's that?
Well, it's fake. It must be fake because I haven't seen it.
Can I be honest? Hellblade is almost in Dead Island 2 category. Like, in status. It's like, well, where is it? It's
not coming, I will
out.
Say,
it's never coming out.
I will say, as someone, like, Hellblade 1 was beyond phenomenal of a game. It was freaking an amazing game. But Jordan's right. Like, it's taken, I don't know why it's taken so long. And Dan, I know I'm over the top exaggerating when I say all they have is Halo, but think about it. All they have is Halo. Forza takes care of itself. They don't need to worry about that. Forza, like, Turn 10, Playground, they know what they're doing with that. They don't need to worry about that.
Sorry, you're wrong. They've actually got Fallout.
All right, the Medium.
They got Fallout.
Yeah.
They got Elder Scrolls. Doom. Technically, they've got all those products.
But you got to think about it. Those are already managed by ZeniMax before Microsoft bought them out.
It doesn't matter if
theirs Halo, now. It is theirs now, but Halo, I'm talking about this. This is Halo. Halo Infinite was years before ZeniMax purchase.
They might have Call of Duty at that time. They might have Call of Duty if it all goes
I know, but
through.
I'm saying at the time, before all these acquisitions, all they had was Halo, and they couldn't get support.
Well,
they couldn't
get any pro support. The big three were Halo, Gears, and Forza.
There's
now,
no
arguably,
Gears.
Arguably, they still are the big three, really.
I mean, small three.
That's the difference between them and Sony, because Sony have now got more.
Well, Sony have the like, big 100.
Yeah, they've got like a they've enough to, you know, count on.
Back in the day, one of Sony's big one was like Killzone, but now that's
gone the way of the dodo, where it should stay.
I will say, High on Life, that is, they need to nurture that. They need to nurture
High
that.
High on Life or Hi-Fi Rush?
No, like High on Life as an Xbox exclusive. Same, they need to start nurturing. Yeah, he left, didn't he? Is that?
He's done. He's never
coming. Oh, back. He got cancelled, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah,
who got cancelled?
The Rick and Morty creator, right?
Yeah, sounds like a real POS.
I don't know what he said.
Domestic violence, false imprisonment.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and the other thing, who made Grounded? Who was the developer of Grounded? The game Grounded.
Obsidian.
Like Obsidian is, I think they need to like really nurture those sort of studios that they have, because they've got everything going for them now. They just need to stop mismanaging it. I have no faith in Phil Spencer. I think he's trash. Like that guy. One second, guys. Games for everyone, guys.
Quote, I think Phil Spencer is trash.
No, look at Phil Spencer.
You would not
one
say
minute,
that if he was here with us right now.
I wouldn't. But one second, he's like, hey, games for everyone, play everywhere. And the next minute, oh, we're putting all this exclusive, but I'm still going to say play everywhere and, you know, beat around the bush and go back and forth because I don't want to commit to anything.
Yeah,
like,
but play everywhere means PC and console. It doesn't mean PlayStation.
I know, but that is clearly not what he was saying. And then when he's talking about Call of Duty exclusivity and all this sort of stuff, oh, we'll give it to you for 10 years.
Stayed true to their promise for Minecraft. Minecraft, they could easily take away.
Yeah.
But they
I know. I'm one. I said I always believed there were idiots for not taking that away. They should have taken that and made it exclusive.
No,
I don't know why they did it.
I don't reckon it'd be as huge if it wasn't.
It's too big. It's too big.
I think about all my students at the moment. Obviously, school year started. And I'm talking to them about what they like. They love Minecraft because they can play it on their iPad. They don't have Xboxes. They play it on their iPad, and they're obsessed. They want clothes. And it's because they play it on their iPads.
I didn't mean take it away from Apple or iOS or whatever. I just meant take it off PlayStation. I don't know why. Because the PlayStation Edition came way after Minecraft's success, like way after. So I don't know why. They should have had like Minecraft Dungeons and those sort of things as a way to advertise. But I don't know why they put Minecraft on Xbox.
We'll talk about this at another time. But
we'll have an
stories.
Xbox episode.
So quickly here, the next Gran Turismo game is in the works, which seems a bit early. I mean, the last one just came out.
Very early. They're out on the racetracks with their microphones.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard the PSVR 2 patch is really great. So, but they're working on a
new
one.
That is very interesting that they're already on an X game.
Hypothetically, when does it come out? I mean, 4 years? Minimum four years away.
Yeah.
So we're talking 2026
PS6
or 7.
Launch.
So it's a PS6 launch. Yeah, it's a PS6 launch.
And you know
they're
what?
Already
they
working
should,
on a PS6 game.
They should hold it for a PS6 launch. Remember when they did GT6 on... Was it GT6 that came out on PS3 after the PS4 was out?
I think it was 5. Hold on. I think it was 5, right? PS3 and 4?
Whichever one it was, one of them came out on the previous gen when the new gen was out.
Yeah,
bad
GT5,
idea.
GT5.
Bad idea.
I think.
GT6 came out end of December, December 6th, 2013. So 5 months after, or not long after the PS4 came out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because it was announced in May, came out in December, wasn't it?
Yeah, PS4. That sounds right. So next story, WWE. It seems to be a John Cena type game, Jordan. coming March 2023. Yeah, they got. So I think you're versing John Cena in the showcase mode, like with different.
Yeah, isn't that interesting that you're actually going to be playing against him instead of being him?
Will that get boring playing against the same guy? I was thinking about it. Like seeing the same moves, wouldn't that get a bit stale?
Would it get Logan boring? Paul versus John Cena.
Would it get boring playing as the same person though? But then again, that's why you're there.
I don't know. I never played the Rey Mysterio one from this year. I've got it, but I do want to give it a
go. Should I give this one a go? I haven't played one since.
Well, they've got War Games. You know, War Games? They've added that as a match.
War Games!
Only, I think, 10% of our listeners know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So I'll keep it brief. But yeah, they added War Games and the new showcase. So we'll see how that goes. I guess they came back a little bit with the last game, like came because 2020 was terrible. Yeah, 2020 was horrendous. So 2022 gave them a bit of goodwill. So let's see what they do with this one.
Yeah. Isn't it April? Does it come out or May?
March.
March. Oh, wow. That's super soon.
Quick, isn't it? For WrestleMania to capitalize off that.
WrestleMania.
I feel like they know that they have the biggest eyeballs on them then. So let's release the game.
Yeah, get it out before then. Sell bonkers.
Yeah. Okay. One more story. Two more stories. Marvel's Wolverine targeting 2024 fall with a mature rating.
I buy it. I totally
buy it. Insomniac Games are going to put out Spider-Man 2 and then the next year, another game of the same quality the next year. I find it hard to believe.
They're built different. And I would put money on 2025, a side project Spider-Man game coming out. Probably.
Come on.
I'm not even joking.
You've gone off. Are you serious?
Do you mean like to the elk of Miles Morales?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like a Venom.
Yeah.
A Venom one would be sick, Jordan.
I would think it would be Venom. Yeah. It would be a Venom game. Yeah.
A mini Venom game would be not mini. Yeah. Miles Morales was pretty good.
I've beaten drum for so long about Venom being the main thing.
You're not wrong, Jordan. I just don't want Troy Baker being a villain. All right,
Roxxon's done. He's
Roxxon. I just don't want the Roxxon. But they also say here, put in this Push Square article that reported this, that like you said, Dan, yes, it's coming out a year later. They also said that the game won't be open world, so it's going to be semi-open environments like God of War, Ragnarok. Like, yeah, Ragnarok, you could sort of say open world, but it's more of like a semi-open, I guess. Well, it's like a bunch of sandbox worlds done to a large scale. So I actually think they can parallel, like obviously they're working on both at the same time right now. They have two different teams. And I think that kind of makes sense because one's open world and this is different. It looks like it's going to be much more story driven, mature rating. So they're not going for that. You know, Spider-Man's there. Everyone can play it. Open world for kids. Massive sell. It looks like Wolverine's just a bit more narrow. They're just tightening the reins on its accessibility because they want to focus on the story and the gameplay, which is great. Yeah. I still don't think it's going to be like R18. It's not going to be like Logan, the movie. It's going to be more like the Wolverine movies where kids can still watch it because there wasn't like overt blood and dismemberment. It's just going to be slashing and slicing and killing, probably, in my opinion.
It's going to be very interesting to see what this looks like when it comes out and how long it's going to be. Like, is this going to be, maybe, are we getting this all wrong? Is this going to be a Miles length instead of Spider-Man 2018 length?
That'd be disappointing, in my opinion.
I would be a little bit disappointing.
You guys say that, but what if it is like that God of War 2018, let's say, where it was, 20 hours, 10 hours?
Yeah.
You know, that's great. If it has,
I'm expecting 20 hours. I'm expecting Miles was like 20 hours.
Well, six to eight.
Yeah, it could. I mean, if they do like a Last of Us style story, then who knows?
But if it's not at least 15, I think the
sweet spot would be 10 to 12.
Mm. But I know we guys are saying the time length we want, but how do we know what they're doing? If they're doing this heavily linear story, then quality dictates maybe 8 hours. Yeah. And just this amazing linear Wolverine story. But if you want that more arcadey open world, then maybe 10 to 20 hours.
I'd be looking for 15 to 20 at least, just for this.
Yeah, I would look more for a gameplay heavy than story heavy because, you know, you're playing as Wolverine. But
And I hope they do go the mature rating. I hope there's blood everywhere. I hope.
I don't think they will.
I hope it's super gory and all that sort of stuff.
I hope so too, but I just don't think they will because they're just relegating all the kids and all the younger people. If they make it R18, like just make it M, mature, like they said here, and you can get heaps more kids, 15 and up, that sort of thing. So just opens the market up way more. Yeah, but
that is true for a movie sense, but for a game sense, I don't think R rating is much of an impact. For example, I believe the GTAs must be R rated.
GTA is a thing on its own, though. You can't compare GTA. Like, everyone will play that.
And remember, the average gamer is 35 years old.
You're right, but if you can open... I think, here's the thing. If you make the game less gory, it actually doesn't really... It's not going to impact your story or your reception of it. It's a nice to have more than necessity.
For me, it's more than a nice to have.
I agree with you, Dan. But for most people, it'd be a nice to have. So they're out. What's the benefit of that versus the benefit of allowing millions of more people to play the game? It probably outweighs each other. Yeah, it probably outweighs it.
Yeah. And final story, Elden Ring is having a 1-year anniversary stream on the 25th of Feb, inviting everyone to celebrate with us at the Red Bull Gaming Sphere in Stockholm.
Jordan, show, can you
give away prizes? Impossible. DLC? I don't know.
I want Jordan to do his Elden Ring voice announcing this live stream.
All right, I'm going to try my best.
Oh, come, Lonesome Wanderer. Come to the Red Bull Gaming Festival. See what I have in store for you.
Hello, Tarnish.
You're so good at that, you could be one of 25 characters.
You could be Ranny the Witch Queen. One of the only characters I remember. Actually, I remember a lot of characters of Elden Ring. Credit to the story of that
could
game.
Be Gideon. I need to go down a bit of a rabbit hole. I need to go down a VartyVidia rabbit hole to make sure I actually understood.
Do you have a spare 55 hours?
My question is, what's VartyVidia onto next?
He's always
Hogwarts Legacy.
I could listen to that bloke talk. I could listen to him talk for 55 hours.
He could cover. He will cover Elden Ring for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
If he wanted to. That's not a joke.
I forgot the YouTuber's name, but it's so funny because like there's this YouTuber, he's like literally only guy keeping Metal Gear Solid 5 alive. Like he just does videos and people still watch it. He's got a community, And it's just, and all the comments are like, thanks, man. You're the only one keeping this game alive. Like, it's so funny. And
the guy for BS All Stars? He was there for years after.
Years.
He would have had 10,000 subs, like
tournaments. He had lore videos and all these like old footage. And he just kept it alive. Do you know who's in their slumber right now? He's just waiting, Dan.
Who?
Waiting. Arkham videos. Gotham Knights didn't hit as much. He's just waiting for Suicide Squad and where he will arise and put out the two-hour Easter egg videos of every intricate Easter egg that you'll ever see in that game.
I noticed even he didn't cover Gotham Knights very much. So that's saying something. That's sort of sad.
Do you think really? I get confused with Gotham Knights because the messaging was so muddled from the start. Is that live service?
Gotham Knights? No, it's not. No, it's not.
One last question for us before we end. Do you think that, stay with me. So remember when Tomb Raider, the Crystal Dynamics redoing of Tomb Raider started coming out? Remember at the time the craze was, yeah, have a single player action game and you tack a multiplayer onto it. And then Tomb Raider came along. Its multiplayer was so bad. And then it almost universally stopped. Like no more.
Yeah.
I would view Tomb Raider as like the stopping point where people were like, no more. We don't need this. Then we got to a stage where microtransactions were running rampant. They were everywhere. They were egregious. Battlefield 2 comes out. Battlefront 2, comes out. They're so egregious. Honestly, since then, we have not seen anything to that extent or anywhere near that scope since. That was like the stopping point where people said,
The Supreme Court got involved for Battlefront 2 about loot boxes.
Yeah, it was real bad. Yeah.
And then you're right, Jordan, Cyberpunk.
Yeah. Do you think that Avengers is that for big budget live service games that people didn't ask for?
I kind of think that too, George, because if you look at Marvel and Avengers. How can you stuff up event like they're not like okay? The thing is, it did sell pretty well, or when it all said and done. But how can you stuff up Avengers with live service, and then you just realize, yeah, Jordan, it could be a stopping point, you know? And all these live services are getting cancelled. You know, it made Gotham Knights probably change. That's a heavy rumor that they probably changed their entire development. Who knows how Suicide Squad's going to go?
Too. I bet you that changed.
I mean, they've got a battle pass in there, so who knows? But do you know another allegedly. One? Allegedly. Do you know another another game, another stopper, George, another trend changer from controversy? The E3 or the trailer downgrade from Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs.
That changed everything, didn't it? Yep. Every single trailer you looked at, everyone came out with comparisons of actual game versus trailer. Everyone became skeptical of graphics from there on. Yeah, it's funny how these sort of things are the unfortunate reality.
Like the but definitive moments in time where people just said, enough, no more of this.
But it's actually all helping. Going on that, Cyberpunk was one for glitchy games, I reckon. That was a pivotal point.
Yeah. They straight up lied, man. They played, like, they straight up just showed, like, everything running perfectly with these vertical slices. Like, I don't know how the hell they got away with that. No Man's Sky, maybe. That got everyone really...
Order, yeah. Yeah,
you know, probably false
promises. Probably not as widespread as Cyberpunk was probably more well-publicized just because the fallout was so huge.
Mm.
But, like, think about it. Before Cyberpunk, before that catastrophe happened, do you remember games getting pushed 6 weeks, 4 weeks, like we're seeing now with, like, Star Wars and that? Like, people, like, developers are realizing, like, hey, no, we can't get away with this. Like, Cyberpunk was crucified. It was taken off the store.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was.
There we go. All right, guys. What a great episode. Thanks for being with me, you two. Can we get, before Hogwarts comes out, can we get one more from our special guest? He's stuck by this whole time for the last hour. He's been here just listening. What can you tell us, Hat, what house is Kyle in?
Rufflepuff.
Really? I would have said Slytherin. Okay. You don't want to redo?
No.
He's got a normal voice.
I've never
met
a more Hufflepuff bloke in my life.
Yeah, true. You're right. All right. It's been a pleasure to serve you guys. Make sure to give us a five. No. Make sure to give us a 5-star review on wherever you're listening. It really helps. And make sure to subscribe to Vaza Media and Dan Allen Gaming. And we will see you.
See you. Later.
Take care. PlayStation.